Tonight's share is sponsored by Jay Roden. Thank you, and Tiskel and Mitzvahs.
Good to welcome everybody. Last week, we were holding in Kapitel Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chof Gimel. The last Pasuk in Kapitel Yud Zayin. V'hoya b'hiyois ruach elikim el shol, and it was when the spirit of Hashem, the evil spirit of Hashem, came to shol. V'lokach David as hakinor, and David took the harp, v'nigen b'yodei, he would play with his hand, the ravach l'shol v'tayv lo, and it would be comfortable for Shaul, it would be good for him, v'sora me'olov ruach ha'ro'ah, and the bad spirit would leave him. So he asked last week, holding in Kapitel Yud Zayin Pasuk Chof Gimel, we asked last week, there's a little bit of an arichus in the lashon, the ravach l'shol v'tayv lo'i, V'sorah me'olov ruach ha'ro'ah. And we explained that there was different steps of Shaul's depression. Number one, because the ruach Hashem left him, his whole body was feeling depressed, he was very nervous, and because he was ba'atzvus, it was impossible for him to receive ruach HaKodesh. So when Dovin HaMelech, when he played for him, and he became b'simcha, so me'olov the ruach Hashem was able to descend upon him, and once there's a Ruach Hashem, the Ruach Ro leaves, because the Ruach Ro cannot be there when the Ruach of Kedusha is there. That's the way we learned the simple Pshat in the Pasuk. But the Sefer Mishpatei Zohar brings down here, when it says, V'ravach l'shol v'toyv lo'i, v'toyv lo'i is not going on Shol. V'toyv lo'i is going on David HaMelech. When it would be Ravach l'shol, then it would be good for David HaMelech, because David HaMelech literally felt the pain of Shaul, and he was mishtakev b'tzara, and that's a qual. When somebody is mishtakev with the tzara of his friend, when he feels the tzara of his friend, it's a greater nechama for the friend when he has somebody to be mishtakev in the tzara. So when it says over here, v'ravach l'shol v'toyv lo'i, v'ravach l'shol was going on Shaul, Shaul was comfortable, v'toyv lo'i, and it was good for David. Because David was mishtakef in the tzar. He literally felt the pain of Shaul. When Shaul was relieved, he himself was relieved. There's an interesting vort from Reb Kiva Eiger. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Ki isha asher imoy tenachamenu, like a man whose mother comforts him when he loses his father, came to nuchamu, so you, Klal Yisrael, should be comforted. So Kiva Eiger says, like, what is the special nechama that a mother has for her son? So Kivega says, there's nobody that feels the pain of the loss of the man of the household as the wife does. She feels the pain. Ain't on a mesa elul ishtay. So she feels the pain greater than anybody else. And when she's mishtatif in the tzar of her son, she knows what the son is going through. And in Mela, when she is menachem him, that's a special comfort for the son, because he knows how much his mother is being mishtatif in his tzar. Kein tenu chamula osid lovay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows what our tzar is in Golus. He feels the pain more than anybody else, and that will be the nechama. So when somebody else is mishtakef in someone's tzar, it's a tremendous nechama when he is comforted. Also, it's a davar yadua from the Shalom HaKadosh. Shalom HaKadosh says, what's the meaning of going to a tzaddik for a bracha? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be mishpalet. And the truth is, that's really the way it should be. Kleisenberger Rebbe, he once gave a shmooze about this. Kleisenberger Rebbe says he remembers it was a davar pashut when the women used to come into the shul and open up the Aron Kodesh and stick their heads in and cry. As a matter of fact, Yismach Moshe, Heilig Yismach Moshe, used to sit and learn in the Beis Medrash, and the women used to come in and Shteres is learning. They used to come in Keseder and cry into the Aron Kodesh. He chased them out. And that night he had a cholam, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch was mistratzen with this. He saw a pasuk in the Chaloyim. Ki lo bozer lo shikis en kas ani, that he got a simim in HaShemayim. This is what HaKadosh Baruch wants. And the Kleisenberger Rebbe used to say, that, for states that there's an union of going to tzaddikim, of the people have to daven on their own. But what's taka the inyan of going to a tzaddik? Zok to shalom hakadosh, because a tzaddik feels the pain of Klal Yisrael. And being that he feels the pain of Klal Yisrael, when somebody comes with their own personal tzara, the tzaddik is so shaken up, and he davens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is answering the tzaddik because it becomes his pain. So when someone's mishtatet for tzara shel chaver, it becomes his pain, then his tilos, and especially by tzaddikim, they're able to feel that, the stifler. Like a tzaddik b'kadosh l'bracha, there was somebody once came to him for a bracha, and he saw on the table were little notes with the names of people on them, for different Yeshuas. So he was looking at them. So the stipler asked him, do you feel the pain of these people? He says, no. He says, I better say, then you can't look. You can only look at the papers if you're able to feel their pain. If you don't feel their pain, then there's no need for you to look. As a matter of fact, the Pandavizhirov said, how did he come to learn by the Chofetz Chaim? How did he come to learn by the Chofetz Chaim? He was on his way to a different yeshiva totally. And he was passing by in Yer Rad, and he figures, let me come into the Chofetz Chaim for a bracha. So he comes into the Chofetz Chaim, and the Rebbetzin tells him that her husband is right now a little bit busy. He'll be back in a short while. He should wait in the waiting room there. So he's waiting in the waiting room, and all of a sudden he hears crying. Oi, 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 oi. Chavta tzitta. He looks at the Rebbetzin. The Rebbetzin says, don't worry, it's fine. Then a few minutes later, again, oi, oi, oi. Again, he looks at the Rebbetzin. So the Rebbetzin said, that's her husband. Somebody had just come in a little while before that his daughter was in labor, and the doctors say it's a big sakana for her and for the child, and he asked that the Chofetz Chaim should be mispalsed. So the Pandit Vizhirov said, if this is the way the Chofetz Chaim feels the pain of somebody else, then I'm staying right here. I don't want to leave this muffin. And he had to stay there. He said those were the best years of his life. Those were the hardest years of his life, he said, because he had to learn with Rabbi Chanan the Chavrusa. Those were the hardest, Rabbi Chanan of Asaman. So they were the hardest days of his life. They didn't move, you know, he could go straight 8 hours without looking up, you know. But they were the best days of his life. You know, best years of his life. But this is the way he came to the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim felt the pain of somebody else. Mamish, Atkid Ekach, he could scream out in such pain for Yenim Sarah. So this is with David HaMelech. The Rambam says that the Melech, Liboy Levav Kol Ha'am. The heart of the king is the heart of the entire nation. And David HaMelech had this. He had this Maila of Liboy Levav Kol Ha'am. Maybe we'll speak about that a little bit later on. Liboy Levav Kol Ha'am, and he felt the pain of every single individual. Shaul HaMelech, when he was in pain, David HaMelech literally felt the pain. The Ravach L'Shaul V'Tayv Loi. When Shaul HaMelech felt good, it was good for David HaMelech. Agav, it's kedai to mention, we're about to enter another Chanukah. The Chanukah Chazal say, there's an inyan of giving tzedakah. What's the meaning of giving tzedakah? So some svarim bring down because Chanukah is a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's metahara on the Shamas. Maybe the time of Kedusha v'tahara. And when our neshamas become pure, one of the instruments that we use to help cleanse our neshamas, same way by Yom Neiroim, Tshuva Tfilu Tzedakah, Mavirnas Raya HaGzeira, Chanukah is the same thing. Mavirnas Raya HaGzeira, B'chol by Chanukah, they hold that the final fittle comes on Chanukah. You know, it has a shaykh to the Yom Neiroim. So when our neshamas become cleansed and when they become pure, there's an inyan of being mishtatev b'tzaras chaveiroi. There's unfortunately here in Monkey, there's plenty to go around where we could be mishtatev b'tzaras chaveiroi. Also, B'chol Chanukah is a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he came all the way down and he rested the Shechina l'mata mi yud tvachim. Bir hadvarim, Klal Yisrael on a very low madrega. Very, very low madrega. If the Chashmeinoim started with 13 Chashmeinoim, as Rashi says, there were only 13 people that were willing to stand up and fight for Klal Yisrael. Shema Minoah, it was a time that most of Klal Yisrael had gone astray. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowered himself to bring Klal Yisrael up like an elevator that goes down to the basement and elevates people all the way to the top floor. Chanukah was an elevator. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came all the way down to the deepest of the deep, and he elevated Klal Yisrael when they were on a very low madrega. tell you Agav Urcha, a word from the Chedush Yerim, says a Moyedik Yivar. The Gemara says in Masech the Shabbos, Silois Ushmonim, Sha'amru Chachomim, Ein Madlikin Behem B'Shabbos, Madlikin Behem B'Chanukah. Wicks and oils that the Chachomim said you're not supposed to use for Neiris Shabbos, Madlikin Behem B'Chanukah. So the Heilige Chedush Yerim, Silois Ushmonim, that refers to the Nefashis of Klal Yisrael. Nefesh is ner psilo shemen. That's nefesh. The nefashis of Klal Yisrael, the neshamas of Yidden. So psilos ushmanim, the neshamas of Yidden, as the Chachamim said, Shabbos does not have the power of kindling. Malikim b'em Chanukah. Chanukah has the power of igniting those neshamas. Why? So I saw, and as Chanukah has that koyach, so I saw from Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, he says, because Chanukah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came all the way down. All the way down to the lowest level of Klal Yisrael to elevate them. Shabbos, you have to bring yourself up to the Madrega of Shabbos. Mishatarach b'erev Shabbos, Yoichol b'Shabbos. That's also referring to the Ruchnius of Shabbos. You have to build yourself up to that Madrega to be able to appreciate a Shabbos. Chanukah, on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he lowered the Shekhinah all the way down like an elevator that goes down to the basement. So Psilos Nishmonim, those Nishamas that can't be ignited by Shabbos, Madlikim Behem B'Chanukah, Chanukah has the koyach of igniting them. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he felt the pain of Klal Yisrael, and he felt their tzairich, we have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu to feel the pain of others in Klal Yisrael. We should feel their tzairich, we should talk to be Isaac and Tzedakah. It's a mesugul dikit time, Tzedakah is a meri dikizach on Chanukah. Now we start the next kapitel, Kapitel Yudzayin. Vayasvu Plishtim es machaneim lamelchama. And the Plishtim, they assembled their camps to war. Vayeosvu soichai asher li Yehuda. And they gathered in soichai that was in Yehuda. Can you imagine an enemy camp has the chutzpah to gather in an enemy territory? Usually, you mobilize your forces in your own land, and then you march into the opposite land. But the Plishtim had such chutzpah that they went by Yasu Plishtim es machaneim, Lamelchama. They assembled their camps for war. By Yasu Soichai Asher Yehuda. They gathered in Soichai that was within the boundaries of Yehuda. By Yachanu ben Soichai uben Azeka. And they encamped between Soichai and between Azeka. The Ephes Damim, in Ephes Damim, that's the name of a place. So the Malbim explains over here that because Shaul HaMelech was weak, because the Ruach of Glura had left him, eventually the word spread. People were able to feel it, and the rumors went out to the Plishtim that the king of the Jews is weak, and the Mela that sent shudders through Klal Yisrael. Because the way the leader goes is the way Klal Yisrael goes. Maybe they also felt weaker, and that emboldened the Plishtim. They gathered, they didn't wait. They went straight into Yehuda, and not only did they wait in Soichai, but they went between Azeka and Ephes Damim, which is even closer to where most of the Yidden live. That's the way they went in with such a chutzpah. Ephes Damim is the name of a place. Either Rabbeinu Yeshaya says, Ephes Damim, there was nothing else there but war. Ephes, nothing else, Damim but blood. You know, it wasn't a populated place. It was a place where armies used to fight. So Ephes, there was nothing but blood over there. Others tied just the opposite. The Radak says Ephes Damim, eventually because of the victory, there was no blood there. Blood stopped being shed over there. That's why it was called Ephes Damim. Vishol the Ish Yisrael Nesvu. And Shaul and the men of Yisrael, they gathered. Vayachanu Be'ema Ko'ela. And they camped in the valley of Elah. Vayarchu Melchama L'kras Plishtim. And they arranged a war to go against the Plishtim. The Malbim over here says, notice from the Pasuk, it doesn't say that the Jews went out between Soichai and between Azeka. It doesn't say that. It says they went to a place called Emek or Elah. So the Malbim, the Yidden were afraid. They weren't so ready to go out to war. They weren't so willing to go out and fight the Plishtim. They just didn't have the courage. They felt weakened. So they went a distance far away from where the Plishtim were originally. They had to see, what are we going to do? They had to make plans. But they didn't go straight out to Azeka. And the Klal Yoker points out, it says, Vishol the Ish Yisrael, Loshen Yachid, the Yechidim that went out there. It wasn't like everybody went out en masse. They were afraid. The fact that the king had lost his Ruach Gvura, it b'meila had an effect on the rest of Klal Yisrael. Uplishtim oindim el ahor mizeh. The Plishtim were standing on a mountain on one side. The Yisrael oindim el ahor mizeh. And the Yidden were standing on the mountain from another side. V'hagai b'nehem, there was a valley in between them. So the Radak asks a question we just said a minute ago, that Klal Yisrael camped v'emek ha'ela in the valley of Ela, and here it says that they were on a mountain. So the Radak explains that only the Giborim went up on the mountain. In other words, the rest of Klal Yisrael was down below, and the Giborim, they ascended to the mountain to see, to face up against the Pelishtim, and as we mentioned, there were only Yechidim that were there. I mean, there probably were thousands, but in comparison to the rest of Klal Yisrael, it was a paltry sum of people compared to what the Pelishtim had mounted. Vayetze ish habeinayim, and a champion of the Pelishtim went out, mimachnois Pelishtim, from the camps of the Pelishtim, Goliath shmoi. His name was Goliath, migas from Gas. Goveihu sheish amos v'zores. His height was 6 amos v'zores. Zores is the amount of a hand when you stretch out from the pinky till the thumb. That's about a half amma. So Goliath, the ish ha-beinayim, we'll see in a minute what that means. He went out. His height was 6 amos and a zores, which is approximately 12 to 13 feet tall. 12 to 13 feet tall, and he was not considered a giant in those days, as we will see. He wasn't considered a giant. He was just considered a gibor. A giant is 2.5 amos taller than that, as we will see. Now, what is the meaning of ish habeinayim? Ish habeinayim, types the champion. So Rashi says he was a gibor. Usually, when you have two camps facing off against each other, then there's the middle land, like a no man's land, where the actual battle takes place. And people are afraid to just go in there. But he was ish habeinayim. He walked in the middle at his own free will. He wasn't scared of anybody. So that's why he's called an ish habeinayim, a man of the middle. He was so strong, he wasn't afraid that anybody's going to hurt him. And people were naturally afraid of him. They ran away from him. The Medrash Agodah says ish habeinayim, he wasn't a giant. He was a beinoni as far as giants go. He says a giant is taller than 9 amos. That's about 18 feet tall. That's what a giant is. A giant is be'erech about 18 feet tall. And he was only 12 to 13 feet tall. So memeila, he was a ish habeinayim. He was a beinoni compared to giants, about 2.5 amos shorter than a regular giant. But he was 2.5 amos taller than regular people. The Gemara in Masechtas Sota, Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, says that Goliath came from Orpah. Orpah, if you remember in the story of Rus and Orpah, they married Machloin and Kilian. And they were Megayer, according to many Shitas, they were Megayer. And they followed Naomi, and they wanted to go with Naomi. And Naomi convinced them, Shoivna, the Naisai, return, don't come with me. And they persisted l'chadchila. And finally, Orpah, she listened to her mother-in-law. She's called Orpah because she turned her back, her neck, on her mother-in-law. The Rus dafkaba. But Rus continued. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Sota, Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, Bishar Arba Demois, because of the 4 tears that Orpah shed because she left her mother-in-law, she was zoicha that 4 big gibayrim came out of her. 4 big gibayrim, and one of them was Goliath. And eventually, David HaMelech and his people, they killed out all these 4, and from that is where David HaMelech's Malchus was established. One might ask the question, like, what's the big godless? Pardon the pun, the godless. What is the godless of having these 4 sons? They were Rishoyim. Right, so why is that a big scar? She cried over Naomi, and she was Eichet to 4 Rishoyim. We'll see a little bit later on that because of the fall of these Rishoyim in the hands of David, from that came out Malchus David. So they had a chelik in Malchus Beis David, and it also gave Arpa a chelik in Malchus Beis David, as we will see. So because these four tears, she was zeichet to Goliath. Chazal also say that the night that she left Arpa, she was attacked by 100 plishtim who were mezana with her. And this is another reason why he's called Ish HaBeinayim, a man that came from amongst many fathers. It's not clear who his father was, because she was mezana with 100 plishtim, and Mimela from that came out of Goliath. That's why he's called Ish HaBeinayim. Now, it's a davar yadua that the plishtim, their whole people, is based on znus. It's based on Erev. The entire nation of plishtim is based on that. It goes all the way back to Noach, when the Pasuk enumerates the children of Cham, the descendants of Cham. So one of them was Mitzrayim. Umitzrayim yolad es Ludim, ves Anomim, ves Lohovim, ves Naptuchim, ves Pasrusim, ves Kasluchim. Asher yotzim yisham plishtim. The plishtim came out from amidst the Pasrusim and the Kasluchim. In other words, it doesn't say who their father was. It wasn't clear who the father was, because there were Isaac and Znus, right? So it wasn't clear, there was no Yichus over there. So like over here, Goliath was an Ish HaBeinayim. He came out from amidst many fathers. So over here also, the Plishtim came out from the Pashrusim and the Kasluchim, and it's not clear who their father or mother was. Why? Because you're constantly Isaac and Znus. So you find numerous times. First of all, you see over here that the Plishtim came from Znus. Goliath came from Znus. According to this version, we'll see another Peledic version a little bit later on if we have time. But you see numerous places that the Plishtim are called Arelim. First of all, by Shimshon it says, the father and mother of Shimshon told him, Ki atahoylech lakachas isha miplishtim ha'arelim. You're going to take a wife from the Plishtim, the Arelim. Arelim is stuffed up. Like there's something closing them off. You're going to take a wife from the Plishtim, the Arelim. All Goyim are Arelim. Why the Plishtim in particular called Arelim? Again, Yoinishim, you have this Pasuk already. When Yoinishim went out to fight against the Plishtim, it says, he calls the Plishtim Arelim. Again, David HaMelech, when he said his kinna, when he said a hesped on Shaul and Yoinishim, he says, Pentismachna b'nois Plishtim, Pentaloizna b'nois ha'Arelim. The Plishtim were known as Arelim more than other Goyim. And later on, when David HaMelech faces off against Goliath, he may have pushed the Ha'orol Hazeh. Keseder, one after the other, they're known as Arelim. What is this about the Plishtim that they're known as Arelim? Arelim means there's a mechitza. There's a mechitza. There's a blockage. The Plishtim Hayosh, they came from Znus. We know that wherever there is Erva, that is in contradiction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are 15 Arayas in the Torah. Chamesh Esrei Noshim. The first Mishnah in Masechtas Yevamos, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, Petrus Sarasein, there's 15 Arayas in the Torah, Keneged Hashem Yudkei. And the Ramban says, because this is in stira to the Yudkei. Where you have the Arayas, then the Shem Hashem is not benimtzeh. Where you have the Shem Hashem, then the Arayas are not benimtzeh. It's in stira. This is why you find by the Plishtim, Goliath was Mecharif and Megadif Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out in the open. He could not be Masik. He could not be massive, the Indian of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's fast up. There's a mechitza between him and the Emes. The Medrash also makes a comparison. It says over here, by Yeitze Ish HaBeinayim, and it says by the Megadeh from the Torah, by Yeitze Ben Isha Yisraelis, V'hu Ben Ish Mitzri. Aga, Palestine come from Mitzrayim. They originate from Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was their forefather. But it says, Vayetze Isha Beinayim, and it says, Vayetze Benish Yisraelis, they both did the, Benish Yisrael, Benish Mitzri. They both did the same thing. They were Mecharef and Megadav, Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Sefer Mishpatei Zohar says, this was the Benish Mitzri. Hagam, his mother, was Shloimeh Bas Divri, but he came from a Maisis Nus. Right? And Goliath came from a Maisis Nus. And the Polishtim, their entire nation comes from a Maisis Nus. Where there is Nus, there's Hashtopkeit, and there's a lack of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Memela, that's why the Polishtim HaKeseder called the Arelim, the Arelim, the Arelim. The more Smius there is, the more Hashra Sashkina there is. Erva leads to the Tzivuk Hashkena, and Tzniyos leads to the Hashroas Hashkena. So Mari de Gemaisa, by the first Knesiyah Gedoyla of Agudas Yisroel in Vienna, you know, the famous video of the Chofetz Chaim that took place in Vienna, that was the first Knesiyah Gedoyla. So everybody's already in the auditorium, ready for the first gathering. There's thousands of Yidden there, Mari de Gemara, and there's a delay. What's the delay? The Imrei Emes and the Gerer contingent, they refused to enter the auditorium, Favos. He said, because they felt that the Mechitza wasn't proper enough. So they asked the Chofetz Chaim, was up there? So he said, the Mechitza is betachlus hahidur, he says. Avavos says, I shlecht, if we're trying to bring a Hashroas Hashchina here, you know, what's wrong with bringing more Shchina over here? So you see, the Chiddush from the Chofetz Chaim, you know, that Tinker be betachlus hahidur. But the more chumrah there is, the more Hashroas Hashchina there is. That was an interesting ha'ara from the Chofetz Chaim. Technically, Goliath and David HaMelech were cousins. Technically, because David stammed from Rus, and Goliath was the son of Arpa. They were sisters, right? So technically, David HaMelech and Goliath were cousins. But the emphasis the Svarim bring down, it was Zelu Umazeh. Well, David HaMelech was B'Koyach HaKedusha, and he used his Gvura, and the Kedusha that he received, B'Koyach HaKedusha, Zelu Umazeh, you had a Goliath who came from Arpa, who turned her back on her mother-in-law, and Memela from that came this Hisnadzus between David and Goliath. What is this measurement of Sheish Amos Bazaris? Six Amos and a hand's breadth, which is 12 to 13 feet. The Arizal says a myriadic thing. The Arizal says, it says in Rus, Vayomod Sheish Se'irim. When Rus came to Boaz, he measured out Sheish Se'irim, six Se'irim, which literally means six grains of barley, and he gave it to her. Six grains of barley. So Rashi says it's impossible that Sheish Se'irim means six soim of barley, because that's too much of an amount. Rashi teaches literally, he measured out six grains of barley. Like, what's the big guy? Six grains of barley? It fits into a tiny little part of your hand. What was the goggles of the Sheish Se'irim? Rashi says, he was being meramis to her. Ramazlo, sheyeitse mimenu ben shemizborech b'sheish brachas. A descendant will come out of her that will be blessed with six brachas. Ruach chochma ubina, a ruach of chochma and understanding. Ruach eitzo ugvura, they'll be able to give eitzes and will have strength. Ruach das, v'yiras Hashem. Those are six special midas. This is a Gemara in the Sefer Sanhedrin, Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph. So six special midas that David HaMelech will have. Orpa, if she would have gone along with Naomi, she could have had those six midas just as well, right? And her descendants would have had that just as well. The problem was she turned her back on her mother-in-law. Memela zelu umazeh, instead of the six measurements of Kedusha, she imbibed, you know, where there's a lack of Kedusha, connected that we know that there's Tumah. So she took in six madregas of Tumah. That's the six Amos. And the Zeret is any Tumah that was left over in Rus, she absorbed from her, and Rus became totally pure. That's the Sheish Amos Vezores, six Midas of Tumah, plus anything that was left over within Rus. And the question is, I just mentioned the Gemara before, that Arpa, the very day that she left Arpa, she was Mizana with 100 Plishtim. How did it happen, such a thing? That Shemamish went to Igra Rama. She was Megayer. She lived with Machloin, right? With Kilyon, rather. She lived with him. And she was together with Naomi. She was Mamish hoping by coming back, but she turned her back in the last minute. How does it happen, such a thing, that she should lower herself to the Yuta HaTachtoina to such a low level? So there are those that want to say, I think the Mishpat Zohar wants to say something that we've mentioned until now. We know that there's Tumas Meis by Yidden, but there's no Tumas Meis by Goyim. So Reb Chaim HaKadosh says, why is that? He says, because by Yidden, because their body is so full of Kedusha, so when the Neshama leaves, there are still remnants of Kedusha in the Jewish guf. Memeilu, the Tumah has a tremendous taiva to attach itself to Kedusha. And Memeilu, all the Tumah, it descends upon a Yiddish guf. Hashem can be goy, doesn't have any Kedusha to begin with. So his body is void of any Kedusha. So there the Tumah does not have an attraction to it. We said the same thing by Shoal. Why was there a Ruach Tumah that descended upon? We said because Hayyos, he originally had a Ruach of Kedusha, a Ruach of Gvura from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Memela, now that left, a Ruach Tumah descended upon him. That's what happened with Arpa. Because she reached such a Madreg of Kedusha, and now she turned her back and it left her, Memela, Ruach Tumah descended, and all the Pelishtim were attracted to her, and Memela, they were Mizana with her, and from that came out a Goyas. That is the way the Mishbet Zog says the Pshat, he brings down from Kadmainim. Chaim Shmulevitz, in his Sichas Musar, says a different shot. He says the following. Chaim Shmulevitz says that we find by Klal Yisrael, by Matan Torah, they were over on the Chet HaEgel, right after Matan Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Leich Reid Kishiches Amcha. Go down because your nation has caused destruction. Soru Maher Min HaDerech, they descended quickly from the Derech. So Chaim Shmulevitz asks a question. This is not the way of the Yitzhahara. The way of the Yitzhahara is, he tries to entice you little by little by little by little. The Yitzhahara knows that he can't attack Yidden as though he told him to do an Avera outright. Right? Because he knows they won't listen. She says, compromise a little bit. Today he says this, then the next day he compromises a little bit again, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, until a short while later you find yourself far off your mark. That's the way of the Yitzhahara. He doesn't make a person go down all of a sudden. See, if that's the case, how is it possible that Klal Yisrael, coming from Mount Taira, where they reach such a high, Saru Mahem and Adarach, how is that possible? Rather, the belt says over that the word Yavon is the way the Derech of the Yitzhahara is. He starts out with a Yud, a little bit. Lower yourself a little bit. And from the Yud it ends up with a Vav, lower yourself a little bit more. And then it comes out a Nun, and then the Nun, where it lowers itself all the way down. Tovati the Yavain Mitzula, David HaMelech says. I sunk in the depths of Aveira. Tovati the Yavain Mitzula. That is the Derech of a Yavon. Starts with a little bit more, a little bit more, then you find yourself in the depths. That's the way of the Yitzhahara. But not all of a sudden, in one shot. So how is it possible over here that Klal Yisrael, after Matan Torah, after they were elevated to such a high madrega, how is it shayach, soru ma'an and aderech, they went quickly down the drain? Dr. Chaim Shmulevitz, when does the Yitzhahara work little by little by little? If a person is on even ground, he's even keeled, in his regular daily routine, the Yitzhahara knows he can't have a shlita over a person. But let's say a fellow is in turmoil. He's going through hard times. And let's say he's not even keeled at the moment. Then the Yitzhahara says, oh, now's my chance to get him. What did he do? He saw Klal Yisrael. It reached the 40th day. Klal Yisrael's worried. Where's Moshe Rabbeinu? Where is he? They panicked. They relied totally on Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Chachma says this was their mistake. They didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu was only an emtsoi. He was only like a midpoint between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that was guiding them, not Moshe. Moshe was their leader doctor. They were totally reliant on Moshe. 40 days are up. Moshe Rabbeinu was not here. They panicked. Oh, says the Yitzhahara, now's my time to do my job. All of a sudden he made it dark. And all of a sudden he made it appear like Moshe Rabbeinu's bed is being carried by Malachim and Shemayim. And that's when they really became Tzitumel. And we have to think of a substitute quickly. Moshe's not here. Who's going to lead us? So he took down the shore under the Maisha Merkava. There's four different tzuras up in Shemayim. They brought the shore down. Instead of Adam, who's no longer with them, the perfect man was no longer there to lead them. So they brought down the tzura of the shore from the Maisha Merkava up above. That was the Chet HaEgel. But it happened because they were in turmoil. When they're in turmoil, they descended very far from the way. That was the same thing that happened with Arpa, the exact same thing. Arpa Lechitchila was on a very high madrega, but then she turned her back on her mother-in-law. She didn't feel very good about herself, you know. She didn't feel very good about herself. She started thinking, and she started becoming tzibrachim. Oh, look what I gave up, and now look what my life is going to be. She didn't have, on one hand, she didn't have that courage to be able to go with Naomi all the way to Eretz Yisrael and to be a stranger and live a poor life. She didn't have the courage to do that. On the other hand, she felt bad. She felt, reached a certain madrega when she was married to a yid and when she was together with Naomi. And now she felt tzibrachim. Now she felt discouraged. And when that happens, that leads to terrible, terrible things. And the Mela, all the way down, ad yuta ha-tachtayna. If it can happen to Klal Yisrael after Maimon Har Sinai, then it can happen to Arpa as the Yechida. She turned back to go by herself. There's a Meridike Vart in this week's parasha. Meridike Vart, which is a limud for all of us. By the Maisa of Yosef and Eishes Poitifar. It says, titviseyu bibigdoi lemer shichveimi. She grabbed onto his bag and saying, be mizana with me. Vayaza bigdoi biyoda vayonaz biyachachut. Says, up to Beis Avram, the Slonim Rebbe, says, Meridike Pshat. This is the way the Yetzahara works. Vatitviseu bebigdai, from the Lashon of Begida, a Lashon of rebellion. He tells the person, you don't have a perfect slate anyway. You know, you've done Averis in the past. Are you some didaktik in your davening? Do you have kavanah? Do you make the most out of your time? You're not perfect anyway. So what's the big deal? Vatitviseu bebigdai. He holds on to the Begida, to the Averis of the person, and he says, you're so bad anyway. Right? Shichva imi, so remain with me already in your Averis. You anyway entered the world of Averis. Yosef HaTzadik says, Eineni imi babayis hazeh. There's nobody the master of my house the way I am. I might have done Averis. Aval ha'maaseh, I am the one that's in charge of my neshama, and I take responsibility. There's nobody else that's going to take responsibility for me. Vayonaz vayetzi achutza, he ran out. That's the way a person has to treat the Yetzirah. When he tries to come over to you, and he tries to tell you, you're doing Averis, you're not such a great guy. Get it out of your system. You're gebaldik. Person tries his best, 70 times a day, tries to do his best, tries to be kaveitim la'tayra. There's nobody in the world on a high madrega like you. Nobody like that. A person has to know that. A person has to have that shtolz. We forget how important we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How many frumi yidden are there in the world today? Look at the hashchoset that's going on around and around the world. The corruption, the immorality that's going on in the highest echelons of society. And here you have yidden coming together, resisting the learned, and every day people go about the Messiahs, about the Midrashas, Ms. Haley. So when it's about to say, it'll be big day. When the Yetzirah wants to hold on to that Begida, he says, Einemimi Babai, says that I'm the most important when it comes to my house. I just don't want to finish off. The Alter Vishnitz, the Rebbe, Chaim Meir Vishnitz, one time he told somebody, it was on Yom Tov. He says, you know, the Baal Dover, the Yetzirah, you know what he did with me today? I'm approaching Hallel, Mamish B'Simcha, I'm about to say it with his Eiris, with his Lahavis. So the Yetzirah comes to me and says, you're going to say halal b'slahavis. You're going to say halal b'simcha. You're a chayte in this, and you did this wrong, and you did that wrong, whatever. You could be mesameach now with a halal takadosh baruch hu. So you know what I told him? He says, you're right. You're right. So right now I'm not oisik in tshuva. I'll worry about tshuva later on. Right now I'm oisik in saying halal. Leave me alone right now. Right now I want to say halal. You know, that's the way you have to train. You know, talk to the Yetzirah. Narish Ramachshavas, he sticks into the person. When it's about Titviseu, the big day, a person should not become Tzibrachim. He has to maintain his equilibrium and move on and do Avodas Hashem. Agud Tzibrach, everybody, and Afreilich and Chanukah.
We'll be in touch with you.
Yeah.